Welcome to episode 397 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther. And this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. And, you know, we have a lot of video news this week.
We do. And, you know, we're doing this live, like usual, and surprisingly back on our normal night, Tuesday nights. And tonight, Nick is joining us and saying it's time to change the name of the show to Entertainment 3.0, Everything Entertainment. And it's funny for him to say that because tonight we are jam-packed with Microsoft Entertainment technology news. Jam-packed.
Yeah.
Some good, some bad.
Not all good.
Right. But definitely some good stuff in here. Unfortunately, Richard, we got to start with the bad. And we're going to kick it off like usual with some feedback. We got, you know, maybe more than our usual amount of feedback this week. They were all about the same thing. So we're just going to read one of them. This one is from regular commenter Tim. He says, "Guys, as always, love the show. I'm not sure if it was mentioned on your show, but the recurring issue of guide data in Windows Media Center had me down to 2 days of listings left. And no response from Microsoft or Rovi about when the fix would be resolved. The only reason I even know there was an issue is because I tried to schedule some of the new programs starting up this week. Well, after experiencing the Guide Data Winter 2017 edition over the weekend, I finally decided that it was time that I took matters into my own hands, and improved the Guide Data situation that I've been suffering with for way too long. Based on a suggestion from the greenbutton.tv forums, I downloaded an app called EPG123 as a way of downloading and importing guide data into Media Center." You know what? I'm going to pause here. Let's first, before we get into Tim's suggestions, let's just talk about this issue real quick, because we did get emails and tweets and, you know, all sorts of people saying, "Guys, the Windows Media Center guide data, it's running out." I think for some people, it was only up through Sunday, and for some people, it was Monday. And we had people who went the extra mile and were like looking at the MSN.com TV listings and the Rovi listings, and they couldn't find listings for anything. It definitely seemed like an issue on Rovi's side, and then I'm sure it was just compounded on Microsoft's side, and it took us right up to the edge again. But like most times in the past, at least for us fortunate US Windows Media Center users, it did get fixed just in the nick of time, right?
Yeah. Well, it always comes to the end, right? It's like the bomb that doesn't go off. It stops at 1 second every time.
Microsoft MacGyver scoops in with his like tweezers and a toothpick and some baling wire, and he fixes our guide data.
Seriously, why does he have his tweezers with him?
Well, why not? Because he's got to fix the guide data. That's why. So that stinks. I mean, honestly, Richard, there was a part of me that was wondering over the weekend while this was happening, like, maybe this is it. Maybe it's not coming back at this point. Nah. I would have been somewhat surprised if that had been the case.
No, I have a different theory. I have a completely different theory. I don't think this is it. I don't think this is going to be it for a good while. But I think Microsoft has no incentive to worry about this until they absolutely have to. And you know what? If in the meantime, while people don't have guide data, they get skittish and bail off of the platform, that's good for Microsoft.
That's true. That's a cynical way of looking at it, but it is true. Yeah, it's less people for them to worry about supporting. You know, one thing I didn't check was whether it also impacted guide data on the Xbox One guide. Did you by chance check yours?
I did not. Typically, this doesn't seem to be a problem with both sources when it happens. We've seen this happen before, and it doesn't seem to affect the Xbox. So there must be something different going on there. I don't know what it is. And one of the things that I read said that when someone talked to a customer service rep at Rovi, they're like, "Yeah, Microsoft needs to do something. This is a Microsoft issue. They need to address this." So even though they're using the same source for their data, there are very likely different processes that load it.
Right. Yep, I think so. So this is an issue that keeps happening. It's not super frequent, but it's frequent enough to cause people to worry and freak out and look for other alternatives. And Tim found one, and Tim did a great job of explaining what this utility is. So we're just going to read the rest of his message here. Again, it's called EPG123. He says the tool requires a membership to schedulesdirect.org, which provides guide data to open source projects. It comes with a 7-day trial, and after that, an annual membership is only $25. So far, this has corrected many of the issues that I have been having with the Media Center guide data for the past couple of years, and it actually marks episodes correctly in terms of new and repeats.
Wow.
I'm still trying the software out, but so far it has been mostly painless. I would suggest that anyone wanting to try it out perform a backup of your scheduled recordings is a must. Do it, as following their instructions and recommendations will clear out your eHome folder to minimize conflicts with existing Rovi data. I just figured that since I didn't know about it, that others might be able to benefit from the experience. Keep up the good work, Tim. So first off, thank you, Tim. It's awesome that you tried this out. I have not tried this out, but this does look like a pretty nice little utility for Media Center users. The app itself is free. It's maybe not like the most beautiful and most elegant app that you've ever seen, but I think when it comes to Media Center utilities and tools, we're used to that. But it looks totally functional.
Developer made and designed user interfaces. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
With big red buttons.
Well, maybe, but it's also like it. I think it makes enough sense. It's not that weird and clunky. I think it'll be fairly obvious for people to use. And despite the fact that the website for this is just a blog, which means you just have blog posts from every time that he uploads the app. So there isn't like a section on the website that says, you know, here's a bunch of screenshots and here's how to install it and here's an FAQ. It doesn't have any of that. But when you download the app, in the zip file is a PDF that totally walks you through all of this. And for being written by a developer, it's really, really well written. So I think you've got some pretty good directions in there. Like Tim points out, it doesn't actually tell you that you should maybe want to do a backup of your Media Center stuff prior to going through his process. But he does very clearly indicate that you're going to lose your scheduled recordings. You're going to lose any, you know, changes that you've made to your channels. You're going to lose any channel logos that you may have imported with other apps. It's okay. It's going to fix all that. And then you can rerun like the channel logos, things and all that. But it doesn't tell you to do a backup or how to do a backup. So you might want to do that beforehand. But otherwise, this looks pretty good. And the EPG123 is, like you said, it's using Schedules Direct, which is essentially I think that's the Gracenote data, if I'm correct there.
Oh, okay.
If it is, it's the same data that Plex DVR is using, and I think that's what HD Home Run DVR is using.
I believe so.
So pretty common data, and it's not the crappy Rovi data. All sounds win-win here to me.
Yeah, it does. And he has a version for Windows 7 and a version for Windows 8. So you want to make sure that you get the right version of this. I say he. We don't necessarily know if it's a he. But if you end up using this, I would note that there is a PayPal donation button on this developer's website. And we would encourage you to contribute to this. Because what's particularly interesting is that he only just created this last year. Like,
yeah, it's pretty new.
The fact that anybody is doing development to support Windows Media Center in 2016 as a new effort is pretty impressive to me.
Absolutely. That is one dedicated person. So big shout out to the developer of EPG123. And let's move on with some more good news. Like that was good news, and it's going to transition us into some more awesome news. This time, from maybe the best potential replacement for Windows Media Center. And that, of course, is HD Home Run and their forthcoming HD Home Run DVR app and service. This specifically is news around copy-protected content and being able to watch it, finally, with the HD Home Run apps. The big news last week was, and this happened like the day we were publishing the show. Like, this could have happened a couple days earlier. Would have helped us out a lot. But anyway, the story is that with this new update, they've updated their Windows app. And by Windows app, we mean Xbox One and Windows 10. It's their UWP. And when the update first came out, they were primarily pointing people at the Xbox side, because this app brings full support for copy protected content, meaning, you know, DRM'd channels from your HD Home Run Prime cable card tuner device to your Xbox One live playback. It just works, period.
And it's funny because I read that and I thought, oh, that's awesome. Now I'm going to be able to get HBO and Cinemax, and I think AMC is another channel that's protected. And then I realized, you know, I'm in the minority. Really, what this means is that many people are going to be able to get any channels at all.
Right. There are a lot of cable companies out there that they copy protect everything. Even, you know, even if you just want to watch, I think some of them even copy protect the networks, right?
But definitely things
like ESPN and, you know, Cartoon Network, Disney Channel, like everything, absolutely everything. Fox Sports, that sort of stuff. You're lucky, BIOS doesn't copy protect much, but a lot of other places do. So,
right.
Yeah, this is a really big deal for a lot of people.
Right. This isn't just an enhancement for their existing customers. This opens a much larger market for them, which I think is very important.
Yeah. Now, when this came out last week, there was some caveats around how it would work on PCs. And I'm not even going to go into all of the details, because most of them have been alleviated with an update that happened to the app today. We're recording on the 7th. It should work for most people. There are still some caveats, though, on Windows 10. Unfortunately. And that is, if your cable stream comes in as MPEG-2, which it probably does, your Windows 10 PC might not have the codecs to support MPEG-2 playback.
Oh, right, because that came with DVD playback.
Right, which we all got through Windows Media Center, but since that's not in Windows 10, they don't include any of that anymore. So what Microsoft did to fix that problem was they made an app called the Windows DVD Player. So you go to the store, you buy that app, and it gives you the ability to watch MPEG-2 content. But that's $15.
Yeah, it's $15. So just consider that if you want to use this on your Windows PC, there's an additional $15 fee. It's a one-time fee, right? Or you could wait.
That was kind of the surprise to this, was that HD Home Run is saying that with the next major update to Windows, which is expected this spring, you won't need this app anymore. And that has to be the creator's update. They didn't call it by name, but that's the next major update that's coming this spring. And Microsoft has never told us before that the creator's update would include an MPEG-2 codec, but that's awesome. So if you can wait. If you don't want to wait, it's $15, which, like Richard said, isn't that big of a deal. There is one other thing we should point out. This doesn't solve absolutely everything, especially not for you DVR users. You still can't record if it's copy protected. This will only work with live TV. It is coming, though. We need to stress, all of that is coming. HD Home Run DVR will support recording and playing back of copy protected stuff eventually. It's just not there yet.
And this was the first major step in getting there. They had to get that playback working, and now they'll have to incorporate all of the appropriate, you know, workings to make this possible into the DVR product too.
Right.
This is great news. This is really great news. Now, there was a question, I believe, earlier in the week about, well, what about PCs that use an external monitor, because isn't there some sort of protection string when you're playing back content that it has to, you know, it has to do some sort of handshake with a monitor that is going to handle the protection?
Yes. And there was an issue with that last week. That's what they fixed with today's update. So if you've just got a regular desktop PC or even some laptops and stuff like that, this should work now.
Got it. So now, yeah, Rennie is reminding me from the chat room that it's HDCP. I don't even try to come up with those letters anymore because I always get it wrong. So now, something that I found really interesting is that I picked a story to include in the lineup about how suddenly the DVD player is the top paid app in the Windows App Store. And why would that be? That doesn't make any sense. It's not really that good of an app. People don't like they have to pay for it. I wonder if this has something to do with that.
I bet that it does. I bet there was an influx of people late last week that went out and bought the Windows 10 DVD or the Microsoft DVD player just so that this would work on their PCs. And it's not like the Windows 10 store gets that many purchases, especially right. in these types of categories. So
right.
it might just be enough to bump it up to the top of the list.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. It certainly would explain things, because otherwise it's like, really? Really? Suddenly people are playing DVDs on their Windows 10 apps or Windows 10 computers, and really, how many of them have DVD drives in them? Come on.
Right. And this app isn't even that great.
Well, there's
that
too.
It's got like a 2.5 star rating or something like that in the Windows Store.
Right. Right. So interesting. Interesting weekend going on a video. You know, I mentioned before that I have tried the HD Home Run product, and the fact that it didn't include some of those channels kind of put me off. So I'll have to give that another try again.
Yeah. When I was a cable customer, that was a huge problem for me because I didn't watch a lot of TV. And when I did, it was usually hockey or racing, which were on like Fox Sports and NBC Sports. And all of those channels for me were copy protected.
They're protected. Yep.
So I couldn't watch them with anything but my Windows Media Center box.
Yep. Interesting.
All right. So let's move on to some audio news. And this is a UWP called Soundbite, but it's a UWP where this specific update was on the Xbox side. I'm pretty sure we talked about Soundbite before when it first released on the Xbox One. It's a SoundCloud app, and I really like SoundCloud. That's a music service I use fairly often to follow some of the DJs that I really like, because they frequently put new remixes and stuff like that up on SoundCloud. I'm sure lots of other people have other uses for it, but I love it for that. And this app brings, you know, total SoundCloud playback support to the Xbox One. It does it with background audio support, which is crucial. The big thing here that we're talking about this week is the developer has been listening to feedback. He's pretty active over on Reddit, and he got a lot of feedback about usability on the Xbox One, especially with a controller. And he released a new update that largely focuses on making it so that it's more usable with a controller. And he's done a fantastic... I keep saying he. I don't know if it's a guy or girl. The developer did a great job. I checked this app out tonight. I kind of didn't want to stop using it, but I had to keep planning for the show. It looks really good. There's a couple of little things that still need to be straightened out. And if you want to check this out, the thing that you're probably going to struggle with at first is once you've picked something to play, then maybe you back out just using the B button to go back to a different list and all that stuff. You might be wondering, how do I get back to the player screen? And that is not obvious at all. There's no like on-screen section to take you back to it. It's not like a tab or anything like that. I don't know the name of the button on the controller, but it's the button that has the two squares overlapping each other. I think it's called the view button. Is that right?
I have no idea what it's called. I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
Right. It's the button just to the left of the Xbox guide button. If you push that, it'll take you back to the player screen where you've got your play, pause, skip, you know, control buttons like that. This app is great. You should absolutely check it out if you're a SoundCloud user. And I'm definitely going to continue to use this app. I really, really like it. I think it's free because I don't remember paying for it. And when I installed it on this Xbox, it didn't ask me to pay anything, but it wouldn't have anyways because I had already installed it
right
on other Xboxes. So I don't know for sure if it did cost any money. It wasn't much. And at this point, I would definitely say it's worth it because I'm sure it wasn't like a $10 app.
We've been talking about this now for 3 or 4 minutes. And did you actually say the name of this thing?
I think I did at the very beginning. It's called Soundbyte, but it's spelled SoundByte.
Love that name.
Yeah, it's a good name. All right, so let's move on. That's actually it for our audio news. Let's move on to some gaming news. And this is really light this week. So if you don't like the gaming news section, you'll be happy. Just two stories. The first one is there's a new game out for Windows 10 and Xbox users. And I don't normally just pop in stories for new games, but this one is kind of interesting. It's called Fallout Shelter. It's a mobile game. It's been available on Android and iOS for over a year, I'm sure. But now it's on Windows 10 and Xbox as an Xbox Play Anywhere app, which is kind of cool because that means, hey, it's free. And when you install it in one place, it works in both places. You obviously have to install it in both places. But if you open it on your Windows PC, it's going to ask you to log in with your Xbox Live account. It's going to store everything with your Xbox Live account, and you can build your little Fallout shelter, you know, spend hours on it on your PC, switch on over to your Xbox and pick up right where you left off. This is not the first time that I've tried a Play Anywhere app because I have Forza Horizon 3, but it is the first time that I ran into an interesting issue. Xbox Play Anywhere apps cannot be played on multiple devices at the same time, which totally makes sense in terms of licensing.
Yep, that makes sense.
So I opened the app up on my PC first just to spend 5 minutes doing the initial stuff to get into the game. Then my plan was save it, close it on the PC, go over to my Xbox, pick it up there because I wanted to see how it would work with a controller. And when I did that, it gave me a message saying, you can't play this game on two devices at the same time. And there's a button that says, play here instead, which is what I wanted to do. And when I clicked that button, it's like the app was still closed. So this was, you know, within 2 minutes of me closing it on a PC. I don't know what the timer things are that are that link that sort of crap. Hopefully, I would assume that if I'd waited a few more minutes, it would have worked. But I don't know for sure, so I can't give you any actual feedback on how this game works with a controller. But I know that, you know, last year at some point, I spent a lot of time playing this game on Android, and I had a lot of fun with it. It's free, so it's worth checking out for sure.
So it's free, like for everybody. It's not free because you already bought it on your mobile device. It's free, period.
It's a free-to-play game that has in-game things that you could purchase.
Got it.
It's basically, you know, it's a building game, and you can buy stuff to make the building stuff happen faster, or you just wait.
Cool.
Then the other gaming story for this week is this week's deals with gold and the Spotlight sale. There's actually a lot of interesting games for sale this week. I'm going to point at four of them. The first one is Dirt Rally. This is the best rally game to ever be released. I love rally racing games. This one is authentic. Like, if you're not into like difficult rally racing, you won't like Dirt Rally. It's not like the other Dirt games, which were fairly arcadey. This one is more simulation-based. It's difficult. It's good. It's $24 right now. So go and pick that up if you're into rally racing games. One of the newest games on the list that's on sale is called Steep. It's a snowboarding game that just came out like 2 months ago. It's down to $39. I played the beta for a little bit. It was kind of cool, but not really my thing. If there's a way for you to check this out before buying it, I don't know if there is, but maybe do that. But it was pretty good. Go and read the reviews, check it out, because it's, you know, only $39 instead of $60. So that's cool. This next one will require a little bit of explanation. It's an indie game called This War of Mine, The Little Ones. And I have played this game, although not the Little Ones edition. I have this on PC. This is not a happy game, Richard. This is a game that is about dealing with living in a city that is in the middle of a war.
Wow.
And it is every bit as depressing as that sounds.
Wow.
You are huddled up in some bombed out building, just trying to live. Every turn in the game is a day, and it's got a day and a night cycle, and your job is to just scavenge for stuff and try to survive. And sometimes that means making some really difficult choices. And it's depressing, but it's really interesting. It's really thought-provoking. And this one is all the more so because in this one, they have children involved in the game. There are children that you're also trying to keep alive. It's not just the adults, because war affects kids too. And I'm sure that that just ratchets up the stress and emotions to a completely another level. It's on sale right now. It's only $9. This game obviously isn't for everybody, but if it does sound interesting to you, if these are the types of games you like, it's a good one, and it's only $9. That's like more than, I think that's like 60% off or something like that. The last one I wanted to mention was Rainbow Six Siege. We talked about this last week. It was available to play. The whole game was available to play for free all weekend long if you're an Xbox Live Gold subscriber. Now it's on sale. Now, obviously, they're hoping you liked it enough to buy it. It's $25, which is half off. I know a friend of mine played it with us for free over the weekend, and then he went and bought it when he saw it was so cheap. So there you go. Check out Rainbow Six Siege. Well, hopefully you already did. And if you didn't notice that it was on sale this week, go and get it. It may not be on sale for the whole week, so hurry up and do that if you wanted to get it for a discount. But that's it for our gaming news.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Well, we have one more story before we leave. Well, we're not leaving. We're just leaving the news topics. And that, you know, we both bought new TVs. We both bought new smart TVs. And when we went and set up our smart TVs, I bet we clicked through a bunch of stuff that we didn't read and checked some boxes and pushed some buttons and agreed to everything without looking at it. Well, that can come back to bite you. Not just you as a consumer, but you as a company. And apparently, Vizio had a system on some of their TVs that was collecting very detailed user habits. And they just settled a lawsuit for about what I think is a pittance of $2.2 million.
I thought it was billion with a B.
I thought I read million. If it's billion, that makes a whole lot more sense. I thought it was like nothing.
You're right. It is million.
And this affected more millions of users than millions of dollars they had to pay, which is why I think that the settlement is just ridiculous. But as you know, this has been in the news, so we're probably not the first people that you've heard talking about this. I'm curious what your thoughts are. You bought a Vizio TV. I don't know that this is something that would affect you, because I have to imagine that once this lawsuit started or once it was in front of them, they probably changed their practices and what they're doing with the data that they're collecting. But as I read it, they were basically selling your data, including your IP address, to advertisers so that they could provide you with very, very micro-local targeted advertising.
Yeah, I mean, what I read about this was that their technology that they had built into these TVs would analyze, you know, every so often, it would analyze the picture that the TV was displaying and then could figure out what it was that you were watching, regardless of the source, because it's looking at the picture being displayed.
Right. Think of it as basically a video version of Shazam.
Right. And figure out what you're watching based on that little bit of data, send that up to their servers with your IP address, and then, like Richard said, use that for figuring out the types of things that you like. Sell that off to advertisers. You can understand why advertisers would love that data, but they were including way, way more information about you than I think most people would reasonably expect them to be including in this type of deal.
Including your IP address, even though it's supposedly anonymized. It's your IP address.
Right. They might as well have included my street address.
Right.
Yeah. So totally not cool. Like Alan is asking in the chat, wasn't this reported a long, long time ago? Yes, it was reported a long time ago. This is the outcome of the investigation. I don't think this is in the 2016 model TVs. In one article that I read about this, it also included instructions for how to turn this off. It was possible to turn it off on some TVs, but I think in some cases, it would turn off all of the smart capabilities if you did it.
Which is kind of infuriating, right? In other words, unless you agree to us selling all the information on your behavior on this television, we're not going to allow you to use many of the capabilities that you paid for.
You did pay for, but I bet for a lot of people, they were like, psh, I don't use these features. I've got a Roku. I've got an Xbox. But there are definitely a lot of people who did use those features.
Yeah, that's a good point. Now, Alan in the chat is asking, who gets the money? Good question. Not the consumers. Who gets the money is basically a split between the FTC and the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs. That's who gets the money.
Boo. That doesn't help me.
Right. And it's nothing. It's nothing. It's $2.2 million. That's the thing that just pisses me off more than anything.
Yeah. Yeah. It does seem like that number should have been a lot bigger. But then again, we also don't know how much Vizio made from selling this data. But it seems like it would have to be way more than that.
And
way
think,
more than
that. Yeah. And I tend to think that it's kind of irrelevant how much money they made doing this shady practice. More importantly, they were damaging consumers' privacy. I mean, imagine, let's say, for argument's sake, that on your big screen Vizio television, you feed it content that's pornography. And that information is getting shared with advertisers and associated with your IP address.
Right.
That's inexcusable.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. The reason that I brought up how much they made from it is because that's probably one of the big factors that went into determining how much to make the fine. I'm sure it was in some part based on how much money they made from this technology.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But so frustrating story there. I don't know that there's a lesson there because you know we're not going to read those things. You know that companies are still going to put them up there. You know that companies are going to still gather data, but maybe, just maybe, they'll think about what data they're actually sharing. And the IP address thing here, as far as I'm concerned, that's the major offense.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. All right, Richard, let's calm it down a little bit. Let's get past our rant mode, hopefully. Because I assume that as we turn to talking about what we've been doing in our own entertainment centers, that it's all going to be happy.
It's all bliss.
That you're not going to have.
It's all bliss. I have nothing that made me unhappy this week as far as consuming media.
No broken Drobo?
No broken Drobo. Jeez, why did you say anything? You know, I think I'm going to start my entertainment center story out with what I've talked about for the last couple weeks, which is my Amazon Video subscription. We were talking about Amazon Video last time, thinking that, oh, yep, no 4K, indeed, it's not in this app update. Well, guess what? Turns out my TV does get 4K through Amazon Video, but your Xbox does not.
Ugh. Boo.
But there's more. The reason that I didn't know this is because the way they have the 4K content available is stupid. They actually have separate categories. So let's say that you want to watch Man in the High Castle. That's a major property of theirs. So it's in the top row. It's always up front. And if you go and you play that, you wouldn't know any better. You wouldn't know that it's available in 4K because you actually have to scroll down the entire list of all the different categories that they're promoting to find the strips that are promoting 4K content. And there, and only there, can you find the 4K versions of some movies and originals and other things that they have available in 4K. It's ridiculous. It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
No, you would think that they would be pushing that front and center.
I don't understand. Maybe they're trying to do like a soft launch or something. I do remember that when they introduced HD, that they had separate HD and non-HD content. So this could kind of just be built on top of that old infrastructure. But nowadays, I just don't understand why they don't do what most other services are doing and just deliver what your TV is capable of getting based on your subscription.
Or just give me all of the options. If I select Man in the High Castle and it's available in 4K, let me choose. Because maybe I do have a 4K TV, but maybe I'm almost out of bandwidth for the month and don't want to watch it in 4K.
Well, that would be a nice feature. You actually have to go deep diving into Netflix features to throttle that back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting.
So, I mean, that's a total pipe dream that'll never happen. But that would be the best. That's what I would really want to see.
That's what Vudu does, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They've got lots of other UI things to complain about.
Oh, geez. Yeah, I know. Unbelievable. All right. Well, meanwhile, I have my Plex DVR recordings working again. I don't know why. I don't know why they didn't record before. Now things seem to be recording. In fact, just looking at my Plex interface now, I can see that Flash and New Girl recorded tonight. So I'm glad that's working. That's all good news. I am still in the process also of backing up my TV DVDs and storing them as MKVs. So that process is ongoing. And then as far as what I've been consuming with media, a little bit of TV. I'm keeping up with Justified. I'm watching my usual shows. This is a weird one for two reasons. Guess which two? I watched Muppets Most Wanted this weekend on a Netflix disc.
I still chuckle every time you watch anything on a disc from Netflix.
And they are making so much money on that from me because I have the two disc plan. For whatever reason, they give me three because I think they know, maybe they feel bad because they know I only watch one like every other month, but I'm paying for the DVD service because there are a lot of movies that they only have on DVD and I want to be able to watch what I want to be able to watch if it's available. So I have a couple DVDs usually just sitting there that eventually I'll get to. Muppets Most Wanted was one of them. Yeah, there's a surprisingly funny movie. It's slow to start, but if you're a fan of the Muppet stuff, I think the second half of that movie was far better than the first half. So if you gave up on it early in, if you saw it on cable or something, give it another try because it's pretty funny, actually. And then, I can tell you a little bit about some medium that I'm not consuming anymore. And that would be kind of disappointing to me because these are things that I've recommended in the past. I am not listening to podcasts from Gimlet Media anymore. And the reason that I'm not is because I had the nerve last week to provide some negative feedback on the only mechanism that they make available to people because they don't allow comments on their website. So I had two tweets with some negative feedback about the most recent episode of Reply All. And their response was to block every one of my accounts.
Well, you must have been like cussing them out in your comments then, right? Like 15 F-bombs in one tweet?
Yeah, no. And, you know, I thought about that. I thought, well, you know, maybe I was a jerk. And I go back and I read them. You read them. Did you think I was a jerk?
Not at all. You were not even close to being a jerk.
I mean, I can really turn the snark on. And I don't think I did.
Nope. No, like you are in good control of snark, and it wasn't there. It was constructive criticism.
So I'm just, you know, if they don't want to hear from me, I don't want to hear from them. And the only thing I'm really going to miss is Startup, because I think that is an honest and an informative and brilliant show. It's what they started with, but it's, you know, everything else that just happened kind of just turned me off them. So I'm bummed. But in their place, I want to be able to watch and listen to things that really do get me involved and do get me interested. And so I'm going to re-recommend something that I kind of had a sneak preview of a while ago, and that is a new show on Marketplace called Make Me Smart. And this is a show with newscaster Kai Rizdahl and technology correspondent Molly Wood. And they have a weekly news analysis show that focuses on the effects of the political climate these days, because that's kind of what's driving a lot of today's news cycle, on the market and on technology. And they take questions from the audience and they deep dive and really get into it to understand it. And you know what they talk about this past week? And I have not had a chance to listen to it because it came out like half an hour before we started recording, is what might be happening with net neutrality and understanding everything that you need to know in the current climate about net neutrality. So I love this show. The episodes that they've had so far are great. Their rapport that the two of them have is just unbelievable conversation chemistry. It is just fantastic. And this show is produced by, and you may know this name also, Jenny Josephson. Jenny Josephson used to be the producer of DTNS, Tom Merritt's Daily Tech News Show, and she left there to be Molly's producer at Marketplace. And this is her project. This was a nearly year-long effort to launch this project for them. It's something very new for them, and it's turned out fantastic. And if you want to find out more about the inner workings of that, my friends, Amos and Kent, had a great episode of the Ritual Misery podcast where they interview her and she tells the story of how this all came together. That is also a great listen. We'll have links to all of those things in our show notes.
Very cool. I'm definitely going to be checking out that podcast, by the way.
Yeah,
it sounds really, really good. Okay, so in terms of things that I was watching, not much this week. I watched a little bit of Penguins hockey, and I watched some football game on Sunday that maybe a couple of you also watched. That was started off terrible and ended up really, really, really interesting. Other than that, let's see here. My Vizio TV got a firmware update like yesterday. I'm trying to look up the version number here real quick. It was version 3.0.13.5 for your Vizio 2016 M series models. It doesn't seem to fix my problems. I turned the HDMI color subsampling, whatever the setting is that actually enables HDR on input one, back on. And within 10 minutes, I got the green bar with the snowy screen followed by a black screen. So, yep, turn that back off. We'll wait for another future update. Fix that with the Xbox One. Another game that happened this past weekend, there was a free open beta of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Wildlands. This was a game that I was pretty interested in because it reminded me a lot of Tom Clancy's The Division from last year that I freaking loved. This game didn't really grab me. This is probably not one that I'm going to be picking up when it comes out next month on Xbox One, PS4, and PC. But who knows? Maybe it will get better. Maybe I will like it more down the road, and maybe it'll go on sale and some of my other friends will be more interested in it then too. So until then, nope, I'm just going to keep playing Overwatch and Rainbow Six Siege instead when I want my multiplayer fix. Then the only other thing that I've done is this weekend I remembered that when I was reading through the show notes, or not the show notes, the release notes for the big NVIDIA Shield update that we mentioned a couple weeks ago, that it now includes, the OS now supports picture-in-picture mode for some video apps. And the Google Live Channels app is one of them. And the Live Channels app is a TV app that has a grid guide that supports multiple different input sources, including HD Home Run tuners. So you just go into this app, it automatically will add things like Vudu and Google Play and stuff like that. But you go in and say, yeah, add my HD Home Run tuner, and you get a grid guide for live TV using your HD Home Run tuner, which is awesome.
I want my TV to be able to do that.
Yeah, it's really good. Now, it obviously doesn't interface with HD Home Run DVR or anything like that. But if you just want a grid guide for watching live TV, it's really cool. This app also supports picture-in-picture, and it's pretty easy to make it happen. So you just go down to the picture-in-picture mode, you get live TV down in a little window in your corner, and you can go around and do other things on your NVIDIA Shield while you're watching TV. And it's great. It is exactly what the Xbox One needs badly and soon for all video apps, all of them. I want to watch hockey games while I'm playing hockey games.
Ooh, really? Yeah. Are you serious about that?
Absolutely. I want to have the Penguins game on in a little corner of the screen while I'm playing NHL 2017.
Hmm. Interesting. All right.
Yep. Yep. Because then I could watch it like during intermissions and, you know, in between whistles and stuff. It would be great. I would love it. I would do it all the time. It would be great. And I'm sure people have lots of other use cases for Netflix and Amazon and all the other video apps that people are using on their Xboxes. All right, well, that's it for my entertainment center, and that's basically it for our news for the week. If you want to get a hold of us and leave us some feedback for a future episode, you can do that in a lot of ways. We're on Twitter, at Richard Gunther, at Josh Pollard, at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone, Facebook.com/TheDMZ, Google+, email, it's real simple, entertainment20@TheDigitalMediaZone.com, or just use the contact form. Richard, you've got another podcast. It's called Home On. And dude, you released an episode.
I know. How about that? And oh, we came so close to hitting top 10 today. And it peaked at 11 in gadgets. I was so bummed. But yeah, we had our episode with you and the interviews that we did on the floor at CES. It was late, but I still think it was a good episode. And we had... we talked about a lot of products in there. I couldn't believe it when I was putting the show notes together, how many different products that we touched on. A lot of good stuff going on. And we've already had a lot of good feedback from that. So thanks to those who have gotten in touch with us. Next up, we are going to have the episode that we've been teasing for literally months now with James Montemagno. And we talk all about Google Home. And I am currently... working on something where I will be visiting and hopefully interviewing folks out at Anova Culinary. They make smart kitchen appliances, and I'm really excited about that. I think we'll probably end up doing an episode that was very much like our beta store visit. So lots of good stuff coming up.
So I don't normally listen to podcasts that I've been on because I was there. Why listen? But I did listen to this episode of Home On that I was on, and I'm really glad I did because, you know, like I think some people might see this episode, see CES in the title and think, I don't want CES news. Seriously, listen to this episode because there was some stuff there that I didn't know about, some interviews that you had recorded that I was not present for.
Right.
And there were some products there that I want to check out. Like there were some really cool things there. So. You know, if you're into home automation, you absolutely need to check out this episode of Home On. All right. Well, you can find Home On and Entertainment 2.0 pretty much everywhere you can find podcasts. That's iTunes, Pocket Cast, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play, all those places. If you like us, you can help us out by leaving us a rating and a review. Some of those places have rating systems, not all of them. The one that unfortunately matters the most, though, is iTunes. So if you want to help us out the most, head on over to iTunes, leave us a rating, leave us a review if you've got a couple more minutes. We really appreciate it because it helps us out a ton. And when I say leave us a rating or review, that means Entertainment 2.0 and Home On because they're both great shows, right? I think so. And then come back. You want to talk to us live, you can do that. You can be a part of this show every single time we record it by showing up for the live show. There's a live chat room. We broadcast a stream of us recording this. And as you guys are chatting with us in the chat room, we include that conversation here in the show. So it's your way to be a part of every single episode. It's a lot of fun for us. We think it's a lot of fun for you or else you guys wouldn't keep coming back. So it must be fun. It's usually Tuesday nights around 8:30 p.m. Eastern. It's not always Tuesdays. It's not always 8:30. So follow us on Twitter to know for sure when it's going to be. And hopefully we'll see you back next week for the live chat. Because that's going to do it for episode 397. I'm Josh Pollard. He's Richard Gunther, and we'll be back next time for episode 398. Until then, adios.
Goodbye.